From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, April 24th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
President Biden has nominated attorney Stacey Newman to a federal district judgeship in Maine. Newman has been at the Murray Plum & Murray law firm in Portland since 2013. Prior to that, she was a special assistant U.S. attorney and an assistant U.S. attorney. She also served as a law clerk to a federal appeals court justice and for a judge on the Vermont Supreme Court. Newman's nomination is one of seven being announced today by the White House. She'll need confirmation by the U.S. Senate. Some school nutrition directors in Maine say they're supportive of new federal standards for school meals. The guidelines require schools to limit added sugars to less than 10% of weekly calories and also make reductions in sodium. Jeannie Riley is nutrition director for RSU 14 Wyndham Raymond Schools and is a committee member representing New England for the School Nutrition Association. She says it's important that the new requirements will be gradually phased in by the fall of 2027.
We need to make sure that not only does the food taste good, and we need to make sure that it's well received by students and consumed by students.
Riley says that will also give food manufacturers time to make adjustments to meet the school nutrition requirements. Only about 1% of Maine homeowners have flood insurance. That could soon change. Updated floodplain maps from the Federal Emergency Management Agency show hundreds of additional properties at risk from flooding. And as Nicola Grisco reports, recent storms have some homeowners reconsidering their needs.
When Bob Foley built his Drake's Island home in Wells 40 years ago, he constructed it with future flood risk in mind. He built the home higher than he needed to and installed vents in the crawl space so that in the event of a flood, water could easily flow out. But 2 years ago, the family decided that wasn't enough.
In looking at, you know, the flooding and the potential flood maps and the elevations, we decided that it was better just to rebuild the house.
So when Foley rebuilt the home, he elevated it again. The new foundation sits about 2.5 feet higher than the original.
I mean, we had never seen water up here in the past. And the water here comes from the marsh. The marsh is just beyond those woods. And as the storms were coming, we could watch the water just kind of seep in here.
And Foley says the decision to build higher paid off. No water made it inside his home during recent storms.
Had we had the old foundation with the flood we had this winter, we would have had a foot of water in our crawl space.
Foley is not required to have flood insurance because his mortgage is paid off, but he does. His home falls within a zone that FEMA says faces a small but significant annual risk of a 100-year flood. And soon, hundreds of additional properties in York and Cumberland counties will be part of that zone too, according to regional floodplain maps that FEMA has spent years updating. Homeowners in the floodplain who have a federally backed mortgage will be required by their banks to purchase flood insurance. And many are not thrilled by the prospect.
Is it truly a concern?
Lisa Westberg and her husband moved to Scarborough from New Jersey nearly 25 years ago. It was after a bad storm flooded their basement. But when she moved, Westberg asked Scarborough town officials about the neighborhood's flood history. She eventually learned that FEMA considered part, but not all, of her property at risk of flooding.
And I was like, okay, we're safe.
From a seat at her dining room table, Westberg pulls out a thick folder full of paper maps and engineering studies.
Ah, here we go.
About 20 years ago, she used them to secure an exception from FEMA so she wouldn't have to purchase flood insurance.
So you can see this is the house. This is the garage, so 12.5, 11.9, and the deck. And it's these numbers at the corners that are the problem.
Under the new maps, though, FEMA has determined that in the event of a flood, water could reach up to 12 feet on Westberg's property, so she doesn't think she'll qualify for an exception now. The average flood insurance policy in Maine runs about $2,700 a year, the second highest in New England after Connecticut. Westberg and her husband are semi-retired and uncomfortable about paying the extra cost. Westberg also worries the value of her home will dip once the new maps go into effect. That's a common concern among property owners, says Charles Colgan, an economist and researcher with the University of Southern Maine. But he says most floodplain maps are imperfect because they're based on historical observations and measurements that are often outdated.
They do not account for sea level rise, nor do they account for the increase in precipitation probability that are both known to be consequences of climate change.
Municipal officials in Maine agree. They say FEMA's maps overrepresent the risk in some places and underrepresent it in others. Westberg says she knows storms are getting more intense, but she believes she's safe from rising water, at least for a while.
I'm not worried about it. Maybe I'm naive, but I'm not worried about it.
After all, Westberg says she's never had water inside her home. John Houlihan has never had water inside his home in Wells either. But he says it came close enough during the recent storms.
If that's the level of water that we've never seen before, and climate change is real, then what are the chances that it could be higher next year, 5 years, 10 years? And in our assessment, the risk is pretty high.
Most homeowners' insurance policies do not cover flood damage, and many can't afford to completely rebuild. That's why John Houlihan says he'll purchase a basic flood insurance policy. His home is one of the new additions to the FEMA floodplain maps. But Houlihan says he doesn't need a map to tell him what he's seen from his window this past year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Legrisco.
And for more on where homeowners can go to learn more about the new FEMA flood insurance rate maps, visit mainepublic.org. A new assessment of air pollution by the American Lung Association names Bangor as one of the cleanest cities in the country. Caitlin Badayan has more.
The Lung Association's 25th annual State of the Air report, based on data from 2020 through 2022, says Bangor recorded low levels of ozone air pollution, year-round particle pollution, and short-term particle pollution. The metro area has ranked among the cleanest cities for ozone for 7 years in a row, and for its daily measure of particle pollution for the last 15 years. The report found the Portland-Lewiston region showed positive results for short-term particle pollution, but saw a worsening of ozone pollution. Still, the year-round measure for the metro area set a new best-ever value, placing it among the nation's 25 cleanest. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Badayan.
Local conservation groups have launched a 2-year study of why eelgrass is in rapid decline in Casco Bay. Carol Bousquet reports.
Eelgrass is a federally designated essential fish habitat and an indication of healthy water. It also upticks carbon to reduce carbon dioxide in the ocean from climate change. Researchers announced last year that eelgrass in Casco Bay had declined by more than 50% in 4 years to just 2,200 acres. Casco Bay keeper Ivy Frignoca.
It's clearly a crisis. What I saw in 2022 is significantly less than what was present in 2001, 2002, or 1993, 1994. It's staggering how much eelgrass has been lost.
Friends of Casco Bay has partnered with other environmental groups on a pilot project to test water samples from 2 healthy eelgrass beds for nitrogen content. They will also monitor water clarity, temperature, and for the presence of invasive green crab in hopes of finding a solution to restore eelgrass habitat that can be tried as soon as next year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.